Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, afternoon, or evening, depending upon where you are in the world. This is Walter Davis with Progress in the World radio show coming to you from beautiful Canyon Lake, California, where we're actually experiencing very mild weather for change. And it's really amazing that we had triple-digit temperatures last week, and now we're down into the 80s and 70s and 60s. So this is a wonderful thing for me in terms of my electric bill and just being comfortable. But another beautiful day here in Southern California. And today we are once again so fortunate, and I'm so grateful to have Dr. Carol on my show. And we're going to be talking about part 16 of Heal Your Life, Use Positive Affirmations. And this is an excerpt coming out from her book, Heal Your Life, 25 Ways to Unleash Your Innate Healing Powers by Finding Your Purpose and Connecting with a Higher Power. Dr. Carol is a board-certified OBGYN and primary care specialist and an intuitive and spiritual leader who has helped thousands of men and women for the past four decades. Her purpose in life is to educate as many people through telephone consultations, her writing, speaking engagements, podcasts, radio shows, etc. And we want to reiterate that her book is available for pre-sale, pre-order. And we have a link contained within the body of this broadcast and also on the blog or website. If you're coming from the blog website on Amazon, you can pre-order the book. So please take advantage of that. And also visit drkettle.com, and there you can find a link in order to purchase, pre-order the book. Welcome to the show, Dr. Kettle.
Thank you. Good morning, beautiful San Diego. And then it's 61 degrees right now at 8 a.m. Pacific time. It's in August, and usually the hottest time around. But then for some reason, we're having a very nice trend. Believe it, like last night, late afternoon, my gardener is coming later today, and then we were changing things in our beautiful garden, and I had some pots because what I do, I have beautiful areas where now instead of water, plants that take a lot of water, I'm putting rocks and then putting some pots that I paint in the beautiful primary colors. And I was potting, I had to paint something so they could be dry this morning so I could put the plant in the pot. And then I had to wear a sweater. Just like, oh, my God, how wonderful. So instead of worrying about the heat and thinking about maybe putting the air conditioning on, so it's wonderful, and the plants love it. So, and I'm glad because today we're talking about using positive affirmations, and which is part of the book. When I was writing the book, and people might say, why all these 25 ways? It's just like I see so many people. I still practice medicine on a part-time basis. I do consult over the phone, as well as I go to a very busy clinic when I see people from all walks of life, and I want to give them all the knowledge that I have, the way I call it, as a laser focus way. So what I've seen when I see the patients returning later to say, you changed my life, you changed my life. And it's just those little things that I take the extra time. It's not even a lot of time. It's maybe an extra minute. But it's very focused. And those are all the tools that I've used that I feel people need to be healed that I put in this little book. And one of them is affirmation. And the way I do it, for example, somebody will come to see me, and then they have no clue what's going on, and then I will find the root cause, because to me, true healing means you have to find the root cause, or whether you have an emotional problem, you can't sleep, you have anxiety, you have body pain, and then you have it's your guts and whatever. So my gift is able to see what it is causing their present situation, and then usually it goes far back to their past and their past and their spiritual connection, how they are relating to the past. And usually it's the trauma that they have that have occurred in their lives, whether, let's say, for example, if they have body pain, whether it's they were involved in an accident or car accident or at work or they were sports, playing sports or whatever it's causing it, and finding the reason for me, how do I look at this person and then who's been suffering for so many years and make them understand, being in the mirror, make them understand this is the reason why you experience you cannot sleep. And then to find something that is going to be a neutralizer that they're going to carry with them. And I've been doing that for the past 5 years. And I'm finding out the people will come, and what I would do, let's say somebody who's been dealing with anxiety and say, I don't know, I'm just anxious. I wake up in the middle of the night. I cannot sleep, and that's why I have to take this medication. And then so I will, with my intuitive gift, and then I will say, okay, we need to know why. And the person will say, I have no clue. I have no clue why I can't sleep. And I said, okay, we're going to use my intuitive gift. After we finish the medical visit, I'm going to hold your hand. You're going to look at me, and we're going to find out why you can't sleep. And that particular gentleman, he was a 47-year-old Asian man who could not, and felt that for years he could not sleep. And in the middle of the night, he will wake up like just like he has to run. And then he's been to therapy. They've tried everything. They've, you know, when he was young, and then and later on, and he just say, for some reason, I cannot fall asleep. 2 o'clock in the morning when he tries to go deeply asleep, and that's the time he wakes up. And I just would just held him. I look at him, and then I saw that he was at something to do involved with the fire. I said, why are you involved in the fire? And then all of a sudden, this middle-aged man started to cry, and then like fear going on. And he just like, yes, he remembered when he was 5 years old, there was a fire. His mother woke him up to say, son, we might have to leave the house. And then he remembers looking through the window and then seeing the fire far away, the flames. And then so that means whenever he will go into a deep sleep, and then he will feel that he has to wake up, he has to run. So that trauma that impregnated his brain so early, that's what was causing him not to sleep. So what I do when it's something like that, it's just like the fear, not feeling safe. So I have a little post-it note that it's about, let's say, 2 by 2 inches. And then I just write, like for him, this is what I wrote. All is well. I am safe. And I had him read it. And I said, what? And I put the date, and I put my signature, Dr. Carol. And I said, give me your wallet. And I take it, and I put it in his wallet. And then it's pink, so he's a gentleman. So I said, whenever you open it. So the idea is that, so knowing that in his subconscious, in the middle of the night, that's what come up, something which is deeply buried, deeply, deeply buried, that comes up. And that affirmation that I wrote for him is the neutralizer. And then and also what happens is when you have something to counteract a deadly emotion, or what I call it, whatever the fear, whatever you're going through, and to have something positive to counteract it, it takes you back. So from the stress level, he just calms you down. And in that particular situation, that man is able to sleep. And because what I told him, you are an adult, and you know logically, if there is a fire, you know you're going to get out, and then you get your car. You know, listen, you know, people have cell phone now. Do you need to evacuate? What you need to do? But that little boy in you, who was traumatized when he was 5 years old, is still, when you go deeply asleep, and this is what happened to you. So what you need to do is, when you wake up, is to tell that little boy, and you're recognizing that now that you know the root cause, the reason for it. And then so now you're going to just go back to sleep, no need to run, and say, all is well, I am safe. And what has been shown is that when you have something and you repeat that particular neutralizer, you do it over 21 times, it becomes a habit. So that particular gentleman, when I saw him a year later, and he said, oh, I sleep very well. Occasionally, I might need to take a sleeping medication, but now it's by choice, because now when I work in the middle of the night, I do know it's the trauma, and it's been getting less and less and less. And the reason one of the metaphors that I use for my patients whatever affirmation I'm giving to them, and later on I'm going to explain what the studies have shown in affirmation, is that whenever something is happening into their minds by repeating that affirmation, that's what releases the stress. And the metaphor that I use is the metaphor of a wire. When we are born a wire, we are a wire. Let's say, and everything goes well, very few people are a wire, but whenever we have trauma, whenever anything happens to us, we become a coil. And the more trauma, so the more people that I see who are experiencing emotional problems and eventually not taking care of it, sometimes not even knowing that the trauma that occurs, like waking up in the middle of the night, the mother will never know that is going to traumatize her son for so many years. And then so it has become a coil, and there is more trauma, more things that felt, I'm in no way out, so they become tighter and tighter. So the tightness of the coil is what people are experiencing as disease, whether emotionally or physically. So whenever they take a medication, like there was this thing, when I take a sleeping pill or an antidepressant or anything that they take, I feel better. The reason is that it takes away deep down the subconscious. It shuts down that area of the fear, that area of knowing that I have no way out, and unconsciously it calms the person down and say, I'm okay. But what I tell my patients is that, and the patient is not, I see, they don't want to take medications. They say, I want to be able to do it on my own. I want to do it on my own. So that's why by giving them the affirmation, by giving them something, so whenever they feel that tightness coming, like the coils becoming tighter, and a breath, a thought, or that affirmation, like, all is well, it's going to make things much, is going to strengthen the coil. And with time, the tensile strength of that coil become less and less and less. So they would be waking up in the middle of the night and just like, oh, they won't even wake up. Or if they wake up, it's, oh, nothing, everything is fine. And unless when they're under stress, and usually what happens when you're under stress, so your guard are down, you will say, oh my God, I thought I got rid of this. I thought I wasn't going to experience that again. And like it happened so many times to me, I would wake up 2 o'clock in the morning and feel, oh my God, I'm just like a worthless person. But it's just like because there were so many things happening during the day. So by saying that whenever the situation occurred, to feel that heart palpitation, that fear, that cannot sleep, and just taking a breath and staying in bed, and then saying all is well, that's what automatically in the brain straighten the coil, take away the discomfort. It's just like the wire that is more comfortable, and the person is able to go to sleep. So this is, to me, we hear people have different kind of affirmations, and to me, this is what I feel one of the most important gift I give to somebody that I see.
Okay, so what you're talking about here is finding the root cause, and that's what your gift is to be able to delve into people, finding the root cause of their stress, and finding the spiritual connection to that. And what you're also discussing is counteracting deadly emotions, and basically giving yourself a positive affirmation. So just making a positive statement to counteract the deadly emotion. If you do that 21 times, then you develop a pattern, or you develop a habitual way of managing your stress and your trauma. Is that correct?
Yes, this is correct. And when talking about deadly emotions, I'm going to name a few: shame, guilt, anger, fear, and I would say, when I go to the clinic, the majority of the patients I see, number one, they have chronic pain, or they have anxiety, or they can sleep because either for the pain or the anxiety. And it's very common. It's millions of people go and visit their doctor every year. And I was thinking the other day, it's just like I am happy that, you know, in 2000 I had a panic attack, and then 17 years I've not had a panic attack again, because every time, especially when I'm in a difficult situation, I will feel, oh, my God, my heart starts racing and everything. And I just say, all is well. I do have it written for myself, and I put it on my wallet. And everything is okay. Take a breath. This is the situation. Coming back from the going backward, that little girl who has no way out, and then I am now the adult, and then I can constantly, consciously think about it and neutralize it. Anxiety is so common, and usually when I ask the people, you know, they would say, I have anxiety. They check it. I have anxiety. And then I will ask, okay, yes, you're anxious. Then you're anxious because then I said, you know about the flight or the fight or flight. That's a physical reaction. Whenever you're under stress, your body is responding to it. And then I explain many times to my patients how this occurrence where when you're under stress, your body's pumping adrenaline, and then most people, when they have the anxiety, they just feel their heart palpitating, or they feel they're sweating. And it's just like what you do, it's just like a reaction. And when the first thought, the first anxiety, the first trigger comes, then if you give in to it, so it's going to continue pumping the adrenaline, so that's why it will end up in this panic attack, because now your body's gearing, there is something going on, and the body has to run. So it's just like when they, by understanding physiologically what is happening, so many people will say, I'm feeling cold and clammy, my poor patients, and I would touch their hand, and I think, you know, I could see them just thinking about it, they will have the physiological reaction of that fear, like they were there, something had happened, or they started to cry. And I will hold their hand, they will say, I'm so sorry, I'm cold and clammy. And I explain to them, this is the physical reaction. Physiological, the thought trigger the body to release, the body feels there is a fear, the body has to protect you. So it's just like now you're going to learn how to stop it. And it takes 18 seconds at the most for that jolt of adrenaline that's coming to your body that to go away. And that's where having the affirmation that I give to them, and more the majority of them will be, all is well, all is well. And connected to be present in the moment, connecting with the breath, and it will go away. And I have had so many patients telling me, you've saved me so much discomfort. If I would have known that, I could have just stopped in the middle of it all and take a breath, or have saying all is well, and calm that little person in me that was traumatized. And many, when the first time when I tell them that, they're so grateful for understanding that just that. This is what's happening to you. This is what's happening to you, and you can control it. Yes, you're taking medications, but the people I see don't want to take medication. They want to be empowered. They want to be able to do it. And also I tell them, let's say there is an earthquake. Let's say you're traveling and you don't have your medication. What are you going to do? So is the gift that I have enabled to help my patients very simply by just that. This is what happened to you. This is the root cause, and this is as simple as that, that you can use this phrase, this little phrase, one or two words that you carry with you that will going to neutralize, make you better, eventually keep you from constantly being in the fight or flight, whether you're in the middle of the freeway, whatever it's happening, watching television, seeing something you don't like, dislike. There's a lot of suffering, emotional suffering happening to people these days. And then to just take a breath and take you away from your, like I say, people don't watch television because you don't want to have the trigger constantly, especially these days. There's so many horrible things happening. And I say, you just have to stay away from the triggers and then just know that everything will be okay. Know that we'll be taken care of. Know that whatever is happening, it's supposed to happen, and there is nothing you can do. And the only thing you can do is those things you can change yourself. People who feel that they are cornered, and now, and then when I see a patient coming and they will, let's say they had a heart attack or they have atrial fibrillation, and I will say, okay, and then I would take a timeline. I could see that every time they felt that they have no way out, every time they felt that there was nothing they could do, and that's when what we call the deadly emotions were coming from the anxiety, and then it's going to go and showing itself in the body from heart palpitation. Then they go to the cardiologist. They say, oh, you have a heart problem, and they have a stent. They do a cardiac cath, and they say, oh, maybe your heart cannot respond, so we're going to have to burn it. And I'm saying, do you know it's your emotions? So by just breathing and calming it and knowing you're okay, having your faith. That's when the faith into consideration, the majority of people that I see, that's one of the reasons I read this book, the majority of people who are able to let this fear of the things that, in front of them, they could just be sitting at home or at work, and then they have all these horrible things that they think is happening to themselves or to the world or blah, 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 and causing them to constantly in the fight or flight, all this adrenaline, the pumping and the cortisol, it's expressing itself as disease, as diabetes, as cancer, and not able to sleep, and just like, so you see, Walter, it's just like, this is simple to me. As soon as the person realizes, hey, this is why, what is going on. As simple as something like, you had trauma when you were 4 years or 5 years old for that young man. And then so whenever, most probably, if he goes to work and there is a new boss or something is happening, maybe he might lose his job. He's back that little boy again. So this is the part of physiology. This is the physiology of the energy that was carried, that's been carried all these years, that whenever there is a trigger, slight trigger, that is going to happen. So by finding the root cause and also by having a neutralizer that is simple as the breath, as simple as the knowledge, the simple simplicity of saying something like, all is well, I am safe, for those who are mocked, for those who are raped. So it is, like I said, many people feel, oh my God, that's simple. Yes, that's simple. So it's the other part of the show, the second part of the show, I'm going to grab different circumstances, patients that I've had to, I have seen, and different affirmations that I've given to them that has been very helpful.
Yeah, so that this is a very important topic in terms of applying positive affirmations, and yet it appears so simple to do this. I know that it takes courage, and it takes tenacity, and it takes someone just to take that step to start giving ourselves a positive affirmation, and yet that very simple step is something that's so important to counteract the negative emotions. And you mentioned those being shame, guilt, anger, and fear. And there's certainly a lot of world things happening that can certainly generate those types of emotions. Shame being a state of being, I am wrong, what's wrong with me? Guilt, action, why did I do that, or why didn't I do something I was supposed to do? And then anger never comes alone. It comes with some other emotion just as well. So what I have to do is determine what the other emotion is coming with the anger, when usually that's guilt and shame and frustration and fear are some of the emotions that come along with anger. So this is brilliant, Dr. Carroll, and thank you very much for sharing this with us.
Yes, it's just like it is so common. And then I guess the people they've been suffering for such a long time and taking medications, and many of the people I see, they're tired of taking medications, or they're having more side effects, or they're taking so many medications, and they will come and say, "Dr. Carroll, I'm tired. I need your help, and I need to be able to empower myself and then eventually stop taking these medications." It might take them, it depends on how much trauma had occurred. And sometimes you may never be able to take a medication, but you just even having it somewhere, knowing you can take it. But then, like you say, it takes courage. So many people have one easy answer, but fortunately, those who come to me and pay me for my time, they're ready. You have to be ready. And I have a friend, Jay Michael, we were talking, you know, how why is it difficult for people to change? Sometimes it's very difficult to change because you have some pain, and the pain was like a 7, and then you're carrying it, and then you're able to use something to suit it, whether drinking, whether taking medication, whatever addiction that you use to suit your pain. But then for many people, it's very difficult. They're comfortable with their pain, and they're comfortable, okay, I'll pop a pill. And or especially these days, you go to the doctor, you're going through a transition, you're going through a grief, you're going to a sadness because life's happening and something happened, but now you go to a doctor and they say, okay, you're depressed, or the patients come and say, I'm depressed, because they see the commercial and say, oh, you're depressed, you're feeling sad, you don't want to do this, you don't want to do that, you don't want to do what you used to do anymore, you don't want to have sex. You're depressed, or maybe you need to test your hormone levels, your testosterone levels, and then now we need to give you some testosterone, which is something very dangerous. We need to give you these hormones, and I'm saying, hey, hold it. So I have people who say, I don't want to take some medication because especially if I'm going through a transition, so there were those people who say, wait a minute. Isn't it part that if I lose somebody, I go to a grieving process? So it's my grieving process. So a lot of people who are going through a grieving process are being diagnosed with depression, and then they have to be either taking a prescription pill using medical marijuana, or they're using antidepressants or anti-anxiety. And then so essentially what we're doing these days, we're raising a bunch of people. We're having a bunch of people who feel, hey, oh, I'm having these emotions, and then that means I have this diagnosis, and then I'm going to be taking this pill, I'm going to do this, I'm going to smoke this or ingest this or do this, and I'll be fine, and that's what I said. And then so there were a small minority who come and said, seek my gift and say, I need your help. I have more things to do. And I do feel it's those those people who search me and find me and are willing to work with me and are ready for the change. Like by the time, it's just like I said, Jim Michael said, when the pain of the present is bigger than the pain of the past, then you may want to change. So those people I work with, all the people say, I'm ready, because it's not easy. It's so easy to pop a pill. You can go and get it, or you can something over the counter. There's something you can get all the time, billion-dollar business, that you can have something numb you out. But it's just like I feel, for example, when I had a panic attack, I was 50 years old, and I was on a book tour, and I woke up in the middle of the night, and I felt I was dying. And I couldn't connect. My brain could not be connected. It's just like, here I am. I am my mind, you know, speaking five languages and being able to do surgery, being able to go 2 o'clock in the morning in the operating room and do and save lives. And then I couldn't connect the dots. And I was in New York, and I call my mentor, Bibi Denise, and I said, Bibi Denise, what's happening to me? She said, you're having a panic attack. I said, what is this? I never experienced it. And she said, this is what happened. And when you think what has been happening in the past 2 years prior to that was that I was so many things going on that was mimicking as a little girl all the trauma that occurred to me, and it just came out like virulently as a panic attack. And this is what the time I had learned about the mind-body connection and then the mind-body-spirit connection. Because, like, as most people who comes from background of trauma or shame or guilt, and then they decide, making a decision, I'm going to be successful. I am going to be doing, showing, you know, I'm going to be showing that, yes, I am worth it and everything. And then so in the meantime, we forget our spiritual connection, and we are more into the moment, the materialistic things that will give us value. And then so when the same things that the materialistic things, you know, the one thing we can be sure about life is change. So when things are changing, and for example, in my case, I was not getting any more reward as a doctor, because here I am, 50 years old, becoming an intuitive and healing without the knife, able to help my patients, but then I am stuck in a system the same way I was stuck as a little child without mother and with trauma, horrible things are happening to her, not able to do what I can do for my patients, because at the time it was who I am was a doctor, a surgeon. But then I realized, hey, I'm stuck into managed care, malpractice insurance. So I was totally unprepared for all the major changes that was occurring in medicine. So I found myself, then, who am I? So I remember Bibi Denise asked me, who are you? And I realized I couldn't say. And then I had to learn about all, every time I would get my malpractice insurance for time for renewal, saying we're going to increase it 20%, where after I do surgery, they will decrease it 20%. So it came a time where I was subsidizing me being in practice and who I was. So that's what happened to many people out there. They're doing their best, and then they're finding, they work hard, they study, they're going to do this, and things are constantly changing. So it's a yo-yo. It's a up and down. And then so it come out into the body as emotion. So, one of the things I had to learn, I had to learn to surrender. I had to learn that I'm so blessed. Every time I call her, I see her, I kissed her, I say, thank you so much for coming into my life at this precious time where I felt so lost. I didn't know anything. I was in medicine, a surgeon. And then I'm cutting, and then to realize that, no, your patients who are bleeding, your patients who cannot sleep, your patients who are having hot flashes, is nothing physical. It's the issues that have been happening to them, especially when they're coming in their late 40s and early 50s, where they need to become the matriarch. They need to heal the past. It's the time where they connect with their higher power and surrender and be able to trust. But things are getting worse and worse and worse. So this is what is happening. And then And I had to learn about forgiveness. At the time, I didn't have no spiritual connection. My grandmother who raised me always, I say, you pray for my patients, and she died. She had died, and it's just like, well, what was my anchor? So when the triggers at work with the patients, with the insurance, relationships, and everything were coming at me, and then so it came out as a panic attack. And some the people who come to see me comes out as a cancer, or it comes out as fibromyalgia, it comes out as lupus, and I could tell you hundreds of symptoms, physical symptoms. People are coming and they're thinking, oh, this is the body. And I said, no, the body is a precious machine. It's a precious machine that follows the mind. And it's not what you eat, is what eating you up. It's not how much water you drink, it's not medication you take. This perfect, beautiful, strong body that you have follows you. We tell him, go to the left, go to the right, that's what it follows you, unless you have a traumatic brain injury and there is no connection. So whatever symptoms you're experiencing is your emotion, is your lack of spiritual connection that you feel you will not be taken care of. You are alone. You won't believe the people I see. They feel so alone. They feel they have no way out. Everything worked. Now the government, all these things, it's just like people are sick. When they it's just like finding out, yes, many times what it triggers, especially these days, is their sense of hopelessness that is being accentuated. It's a collectivity and all the negative energy. And that's what I tell people, don't watch TV. Don't watch it. But what are you going to do? I need to know. No, you don't need to know. You have to choose your battle. You have to say, this is what I can do. You have to know what you can do. And that's what I had to learn when I had the panic attack. That's what I had to learn, that I cannot win a war. I cannot change anything. I can change myself, and I can change how I react, and I can change how I'm having boundaries in my life, where I want to be, and surrender and trust.
So that's a big step, to be able to surrender and trust. And I like your statement there. It is not what you eat, it is what's eating you up. And that's what I see with people suffering from addiction. It's people get with cancer, all kinds of maladies. For those of you that are just joining us, our guest today is Dr. Carol, the author of the upcoming book, Heal Your Life, 25 Ways to Unleash Your Innate Healing Powers by Finding Your Purpose and Connecting with a Higher Power. Today we're covering part 16 of our series of interviews, Use Positive Affirmations. And, you know, Dr. Carol is a board-certified OBGYN and an intuitive healer. She's helped thousands of people over a 40-year period, men and women. So her passion is helping people through her podcasts, her writings. And so please share these podcasts and links that we have within the site here, and also be aware that you can pre-order this book on Amazon, in which we have a link within the description of this broadcast, as well as on the blog. So this is a real treasure, Dr. Carol, in terms of you providing a management methodology for dealing with negative emotions. So this, I know you have a lot to cover, so I'm going to turn it back over to you at this point to continue.
Okay, I just write down a few things that I have patients when they come to me and they said, oh, I am anxious. So I call it a laser focus regressive psychoanalysis, because I have very little time to give them an extra gift, especially those at the clinic. And then I will ask them, okay, why are you anxious? They said, I'm anxious. They didn't know there is a reason. I say, why are you anxious? They say, I don't know. When did it start? And they will say, when I was 13. Also, I'm going to give you a list of things that have happened to people who unconsciously carry in their adult life anxiety. Patients who were bullied, many times they were bullied. Patients, their parents traveled a lot, and then they constantly has to be in a new situation. Patients who the parents divorced when they were young kids, and then they were torn between the mom and the dad, and they never have a sense of security of standing firm. And patients were emotionally abused, physically abused, sexually abused, especially the people who were molested. And so my gift is able to, because I can go ahead and give you a list, but then just like when I'm with a patient, I quickly, instantly discover who are you and what is it causing you to be anxious. It could be presenting that you are a very successful gentleman, and then you're big CEO, but then you find out, oh, I was going to travel, and then I couldn't go into my on the plane. Same thing, like, I was a very successful doctor. I'm in New York on a book tour, and then all of a sudden I'm having a panic attack. And it was things that were happening since I was a child that was coming up, that's been boiling to the surface and came out as a panic attack. And then and then many times, when you ask that particular person what it is finding, what is really going on, I'll give you an example of little post-it notes that I write. Let's say for those who feel that, who were having a trauma that occurred to them, like for that gentleman who was just the trauma of waking up in the middle of the night and watching the flame far away from a window in his mother's arm, and then feeling totally unsafe in the middle of the night at 47, and then he's just like, all is well, I am safe. The same, all is well, I am safe, I think is the majority of the time. That's what I write for example, women or men who are molested and raped. Molestation has something deeper to the psyche because it occurs over time. It occurs with people you trust, and then many times the person might threaten your life or threaten the life of those you love if you say so. Or many times you might have tell somebody and then they don't believe you. So it's just like your sense of who you are, because nobody believes you, or you feel a shame or guilt. Maybe you had pleasure with it, the all is well is the one that I mostly write, and the other one I write a lot is that the people who had, for example, I see them, they have anxiety, but then finding out is that they never feel they are good enough. I remember I had a young Chinese man who was suffering from anxiety and depression, because they come with the diagnosis. I said, what are you really experiencing? And essentially what's happening is, it's really, many Asian family are very demanding. It's about education. Also, it's not the Asian. In the Haitian community, you're going to go to school. You're going to a lot of culture. You go, especially if you come to America, the land of opportunity, you're going to make it. So not realizing sometimes that by being make a lot of demands on a child can really make their sense of self, so destroy their sense of self. Because I remember when I was growing up, if I have a B, why don't you have an A? If you have an A, why don't you have an A plus? So it was never enough. So these people carry into their adulthood that sense of lack of, I am never enough. I'm never enough. So here I am. I'm working with a gentleman who's a CEO with a big company, and then with hundreds of employees. And then understand why it's very difficult for me to sleep. It's very difficult for me. And then it's just like, it was for him, whatever he does is never enough. So the people that I work with, they are the best of what they do. And sometimes they're very hard on themselves. And whether could be in my case or in anybody else's case, that it was a parent or something, or the Chinese gentleman, the parents wanting them to do more and more, always doing more. And then also we have a workforce that asking you for more and more and more. So yourself being your worst enemy and the demand of a job. So my question is, are you good at what you do? And they'll say, of course I am. And of course I am, yes, I do the best. So my little post-it note will be, my best is good enough. And I will just talk to them. I said, do corporate headquarters feels you're doing a bad job? No. Do you get raises? Yes. Are you doing a good job? Yes. But it's themselves. So sometimes just realizing it's coming, they cannot sleep because so much going on in their heads. It's just like a breath. And that little post-it note that I put in the wallet that says, my best is good enough. And I will give them an example. Like when I came to San Diego as a first woman, first black, first surgeon in the hospital, when they called me at 2 o'clock in the morning, I couldn't be worried about, oh, am I black? I remember always wanted. I wish I would go at 2 o'clock in the morning and the person would say, I don't want a black woman to touch me, and I would go back to sleep. It never happened because I would come and I said, oh, okay, I'm Dr. Jean-Méran and I'm your surgeon. And I held their hands and I look at them in their eyes and they say, I trust you. So I had that confidence that I was good enough, because otherwise how would I have survived coming to San Diego being the only woman? For 4 years I was the only woman surgeon in my department. And then they have to trust that I was doing my best. So I give them that little example very quickly. That's what you have to do. So when you are with your clients, especially those who are on sale, oh, my God, they have to sell. They have to have a quota per month. And then so, and I explain to them, whenever you are with a client, it's not the sale. You have to see yourself, what is best for that particular client. And in that moment, you'll make the sale, because the person say, you care about me, because the person needs to buy something, but they really want somebody to care. It's never about what they want to buy. So it's teaching those who are in big jobs and having to meet certain quota. You know, it's horrible out there. And then a certain quota, and to know, you just have to do your best. My best is good enough. That's the little quote that I give to them. Many people, they were too tall, different gender, discriminated because of their race or sexual orientation, and many different things, and they have no sense of self. They were totally disconnected with that body. This body is something that was out there, and I'm here, not knowing we are whole. So the most common post-it note I write, I love and accept myself just the way I am. And then I can go on and go on and go on and go on.
So what you're saying is something that I have been saying to myself over and over. It's in this excellence and not perfection in terms of what I'm striving for and accomplishments for my life. There are things that I want to do. There are things I have on my schedule. There are workload things, and I just can't get to them yet. But I don't beat myself up over those things. And I remember also having resentments with older people in my family, parents, aunts, father. It applies that way as well, in terms of me being able to forgive them. Just as they may have been hard on me in terms of making an A as opposed to the B that I brought home, I can also forgive them and allow them to be human and make mistakes and realize that they aren't perfect either. I'm not perfect. They were okay just the way they were, and I am okay just the way that I am. Is that what you're saying?
Definitely. And you know, one of the other that I write very often, and for example, when somebody will discover that the fibromyalgia that they have, or their lupus they're being diagnosed with, or their or they had cancer, or very common for women who've been men who've been molested and sexually abused, is being diagnosed with rheumatoid arthritis when there is nobody in the family, is because the grinding, they want this body to disappear, and then the anger for the person who did them wrong, blah 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 blah. This is what's coming. Those are the deadly emotions that are coming as diseases, and then to have them to write the forgiveness and unconditional love, like you said. Sometimes the people who did things to us, many things were happened to themselves, to them as well, and is to recognize that what the person was doing at the time, that's what they knew, so that when we talk about forgiveness, it's just like that particular person who hurt us probably was hurt enough. So in a lot of the people I deal with who have suffered from somebody else, which were traumatized by somebody, whether emotionally, verbally, physically, or sexually, then it's about forgiveness and unconditional love. And many times they would say, how can I forgive myself, or how can I forgive the person who does that? And I say, it's just like, especially not forgiving somebody who does something to you, is like taking a poison and hoping the person would die. And many times the person is already dead. So my little affirmation is, I forgive myself, or forgiveness, because many times the people have more guilt. It's not somebody did something to them. It's just like a woman who has severe rheumatoid arthritis, diagnosed with rheumatoid arthritis, when it was really herself self-destructing her own body, damaging her immune system and eating up her own body, and it's just telling her, I forgive myself. And I'm just like, you have to forgive yourself. You didn't know any better. And many people cannot. But like I say, fortunately, the people who come with me, and that's why I'm very picky about whom I work with. It's just like, I have on my website, if you don't have the word forgiveness in your vocabulary, don't even waste my time, because I don't have time to see a lot of people. But those who I work with, they are ready, and they will be willing. I said, yes, forgiveness, you have to. Many people, that's the number one thing when I'm doing the consult that come up. They're holding the rage, the anger, and that's what's killing them, and then forgiveness. Something else which is very important that I write a lot, affirmation, is I listen to my body. Ooh. A lot of people are disconnected with their body. They're totally disconnected. They are in a reaction. They just like believing that the body, like I say, it's something which is on the side. It's there. You're with me, but then you're not with me. But I wish you could be gone. So the body is really trying, and they're totally disconnected. So they don't connect with. I drink water when I am thirsty. Not I have to eat 8 glasses of water a day. So those people. If you ask yourself, if you're believing whatever they're telling you, it's the Bible, but then what about your body? What does your body is trying to tell you? Are you connected with this body? And are you thirsty? When was the last time you drank because you were thirsty? Or when was the last time you ate because you were hungry, really hungry, not you were feeding your emotions? So it's just like having people take a look, stop, take a look. What is it this body is trying to tell you? And then I would ask people, what is pain? And they would look at me and say, pain is just like no pain, no gain. Pain is just like you have to work harder. I said, no, pain, it's a response to a trauma. And the body is telling you, I'm hurt. Stop. You will not believe how many people are totally disconnected with their body. So, and when I explain to them the mind, the body connection, how the body follows the mind. And I have so many people who will say, oh, I eat healthy. You will not believe how many people who think I'm going to eat. And I will say, what is healthy to you? Organic, non-GMO. And they start giving me a list. I say, wait a minute. Have you ever lived in another country? Have you ever lived and see what people eat? Have you known about whatever you have and see it as a blessing? And bless it. Have you seen the mother with a child who's hungry and finds some food? They don't have the time to analyze the food. They pray on it. You can pray on it and you eat it. But then it's just like so much complications are going with food. It's something we do three times a day or many times. So whatever we eat, it's something which is so negative and so much guilt about what we eat. And I'm saying, I bless this food. So sometimes it's just like, I would tell people, you just have, whenever you're eating, you have to listen to your guts and telling you, am I full? Am I thirsty? One of the things I tell all the time is that we could save, or we would have no drought in California because so many people are constantly drinking. They have to get up and pee, and every time they go and pee, if they have an old toilet, they end up flushing 2 gallons of water for every little water they drink. Because they're constantly doing the flushing and the flushing and flushing, and they're buying bottles. So our landfills and the oceans, we have all this plastic going on. And then if they could just listen to their body and know, oh, I'm thirsty. There is no such thing as dehydration. My cells need to be hydrated. So this is one of the most common things that I write, my positive affirmation. I listen to my body, and it will tell you what to do. So, and it's the awareness of this body, this mind, this body, this spirit, it's whole, and it's connecting and listening to it, and then the reminder, the affirmation is the reminder of to be able to be grounded. To be able to understand that the answer is within, is not out there, what you eat, what you drink, the vitamins you take, blah, blah, blah. It has nothing to do with how healthy the body is. I am very healthy at my age, and I don't take anything, and I drink when I'm thirsty. Especially when I go to Haiti, there is no water. There is no running water. Many countries I've lived, there is no running water, and your body knows how to slow down. So you know how to slow down, and just have a little something, sometimes a little popsicle, that's what you have. And the body will accommodate itself and shut the kidneys so you don't have to pee a lot. The body knows if you work with it.
Okay, we're down to our last 2 minutes, and I just want to remind everyone that you can get pre-order this book. Dr. Carol, we got 2 minutes, and any last thoughts for the audience?
Mike, I would say, are you aware of that you could create your own affirmation? What would you do when you have a negative thought? When you have something negative coming into your life, and then you will say, what would I do to counteract this? The most important things, trusting. I write a lot. God is with me, I shall not fear. A lot of people are afraid and think they're getting sick is because they have no spiritual connection. So I guide them. God is with me, I shall not fear. Psalm 37:5. I trust and I leave it to the Lord and let it work for me. So see what is it that is disturbing you. When you have a negative thought, negative thoughts coming to your mind, see what could you write to yourself to appease that thought and keep it in your wallet.
Okay, well, thank you very much for all that information. This has been a wonderful show. And again, I want to reiterate to our audience that we've had Dr. Carol on the show today talking about positive affirmations. Please consider pre-ordering her book, Heal Your Life, 25 Ways to Unleash Your Innate Healing Powers by Finding Your Purpose and Connecting with a Higher Power. The pre-order link is contained within the description of this broadcast, as well as on her website and our blog postings. I want to thank everyone very much for joining us today. Please share this information on your social media, on Twitter, Facebook, Google+, get the information out. This is life-changing information, and these are things that I attempt to practice in my life every single day. This is a wonderful book series. Please go back and listen to our archive versions. Those will soon be up on Dr. Carroll's website at drcarroll.com. Go on board, set up an appointment, get a chance to talk to her. Thank you. This is Walter Davis.